Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling, here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how's it going so far this week?
Let me tell you, it has been a really up and down week. Obviously, the news about Chris Bay is very concerning. For those who don't know, he suffered a pretty serious injury at the TV tapings, wrestling against the Hardys, and he had to go into emergency surgery. And I quickly read the spoilers Sunday night and saw that he was stretchered out, so I thought they were doing a write-off angle. You know, right. I'm like, oh, okay, Chris Bay stretchered out. Didn't really have any details, and then when I woke up, got a message from Jarrell Nelson, and then I got one from Remy, and Jarrell kind of went into more detail because Remy didn't really know what happened. And Jarrell hit me up and asked if I knew, and I was like, well, from what I thought, it was part of, you know, what was going on as a write-off angle. And then I started like digging deeper and then contacting people who probably would have conversations with him. And everything has just been pretty blurry. He had the surgery. It went well. Everything's going to take a little bit of time. And so there's really no updates other than, you know, I heard he was talking. I heard he was coherent. But it's been very, very tight-lipped on everything in that situation. So it's like, you know, obviously our prayers and support are, you know, with Chris. And it's like, you know, I made the post. He's not one of the good ones. He's one of the great ones. You know, he's a guy that, you know, I haven't had anybody ever say a bad word about him. He's always around. He's always helping. He's one of the most humble people, you know. And, you know, it's pretty tragic that, you know, a spot that, you know, try to tell the younger kids, man, you gotta be sure of what you're doing. You got Matt Hardy, who's been in the business 30 plus years. Chris has been doing it for a long time. And one slip up can be very costly. And right. When you go around and you do things and it's like, oh, you fucked up and you hit your head and you think it's okay. No, it's not okay. It might have been okay that time. But you have to be extremely careful and you have to always protect your opponent.
Right.
You know, and, you know, what happened was obviously an accident. And, you know, we wish Chris the best. And, you know, every day, you know, the last couple of days, I'm waking up trying to message people, trying to get more info. Right. And like I said, when you go online, talk to his girlfriend, talk to some of his friends, and, you know, it's just not coming out fast enough for us, which, right. You know, we're just hoping everything's good, but we want to know, you know, what's going on. Is there anything we can do, you know?
Right.
And, you know, hopefully in the next couple of days, it'll be a little clearer of everything that's been going on.
Yeah. And you know, his friends, including Shogun, started a GoFundMe, which if you're watching this, you can see it scrolling. But if you're listening, you can go to GoFundMe.com and it's GoFundMe.me/A09E8A55. And that's again.
You know, and I talked to Brittany a little bit on November 9th. I'm trying to get as many of the wrestlers as we can to, you know, donate items, autograph posters, and, you know, try to do a raffle, an auction, give away stuff where all the proceeds are going to go to Chris. And, you know, hopefully within a week or so, I'll be able to get to speak with him and, you know, talk about, you know, what he wants to do moving forward. You know, we talk about a show for him, you know, whatever it takes, because, you know, I don't know how the insurance thing works. I don't know how, what TNA is doing in that situation. So, but, you know, I do know Chris was under a contract that, you know, you get paid per appearance. And when you're not appearing, you're not being paid. And, you know, obviously Chris's only reliance on income is his wrestling. So, you know, at least for the foreseeable future, you know, there's no indie shows coming up.
Right.
And, you know, again, we don't know the severity of everything. I heard it was bad, and that's what everything is. You know, I probably have just a fraction of a little bit more info than anybody else who's going all over the internet, you know, trying to find out stuff, because, you know, I've been hit up from people that used to work with him in TNA, and, you know, huge amount of support from him. I saw the GoFundMe. I saw Kevin Cross made a big donation. I saw today Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes.
Yep.
And, you know, it's great to see, you know, this is a shitty business sometimes, but, you know, when there's a tragedy, you know, people do step up, and nobody wants to see anybody get injured. So it was pretty somber. It's been for me the last few days here.
Yeah. And also, you know, guys in TNA right now, Joe Hendry, Nick Namath, Cardona, I mean, all those guys have pitched in. Friends of Chris's, obviously, fans. And, you know, of course, those people who are anonymous, too, who put up some really just amazing contributions. And, you know, anyone who is catching this, who might not know a little bit about Chris, Joe, if you can just kind of fill in, because I think that what some people might not know is how Chris, you know, came to FSW, and, you know, like how you got to know him and the person and his ambitions, because I still think that it's just one of those stories that it goes to show that if you are determined to be anything in this world, that drive and determination can make it happen.
Well, you know, whenever a new student comes by, or a prospective new student, it's always the Chris Bay story that they hear from me first. And, you know, I guess Chris had hit me up a few months before, and then he decided to take a trip. He was living in Virginia and said he checked out the facility. And, you know, I deal with a lot of phone calls and stuff, and, you know, he's the one who called me. It's like me in the same situation. When I call people, like, I can't believe it. They don't know. You know, I talk to them, and it's like, but they talk to so many of me's, just like I talk to so many of Chris's. And I wasn't really aware, you know, of the conversation. But I had told him the pricing. I had told him, hey, if you pay 3 months up front, we give you $100 off. And Chris came in one day and then was like, yeah, I talked to you on the phone a few weeks ago. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I vaguely remember, not really, because I have a million people who tell me they're coming to train. They live in another state. Chris comes in. So Chris pays for 3 months up front. Boom. Gets the $100 discount. Right? Skinny kid, you know, always wants to be a wrestler. So he starts training, you know, and then all of a sudden now the 3 months are up and he's struggling to keep a job because he's not conforming to the normalcy of how you live your life. It's you go to work, you make your money, you pay your bills, you go to wrestling training. And it's like, well, they're not giving him off this day to do a show, or they're not giving him, you know, the afternoons and moving his schedule so he can make training. So what does he do? He fucking quits. He quits all his jobs. Even now as he's progressing and getting on shows, because now he gets another job. And, oh, what do you mean? I I can't have off Saturday. Okay, I quit. I'm not coming in. I got a wrestling match. It's like my third match. I'm going to fucking wrestle it. And when I tell all these prospective new students, I say, hey, do not be like Chris Bay. Because Chris Bay put all his eggs in the one basket that he was going to get signed to a major company. And I would never, ever, ever tell anybody to do that. I remember when Chris would be like, yeah, the power got turned off. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Well, I got no job. It's like, I got to make wrestling, you know, and I'd have protein bars. Hey, I'd get him a burger from Barley's. It was like, you know, that motherfucker is crazy because, you know, it's one in a thousand and 10,000. You know, Chris was different. We had Cross. Cross was 6'4", 260, MMA background. Easy to notice on a WWE's type radar. You know, Chris Bay is 5'6", 5'7". When he comes to us, he's 145 pounds, scrawny. And as we watch him progress, he's getting in better and better shape and things like that. But it's still like, dude. You know, and I remember the first maybe year or so, it was like, you know, I don't know. I'm like, dude, we got guys like Rick or LA Knight. They've been doing this 15 years and Brian Cage. And, you know, it takes a long fucking time. Like, you're not even 2 years in and you're like ready to be like, fuck this. I got to figure something out because I haven't been signed yet. And then, you know, all of a sudden you get something with TNA and then they still don't sign him, but you see him really rising up the ranks. And then I remember it was because of Sanjay Dutt. And Sanjay was working for WWE at the time. And Sean Daivari's brother, Aria, was there. And they needed a match for 205. And they were in Las Vegas. And there was a whole bunch of people there, obviously, all the extras. And Sanjay goes, hey, that's Chris Bay. Give him the match. And we had forged a good friendship with Sanjay. And he knew the talents. Because Sanjay was also in TNA, and he was in Global Force, and so he knew Chris. Chris got the match, and then within about 3 or 4 days, all of a sudden, TNA, who gave Chris Bay a dark match against Daga, that we were like, holy shit, they gave him like 15 minutes. Like, they really were high on this kid and didn't sign him. Like, what the fuck, Scott D'Amore? Like, you know, stop signing all the Callahan's guys. Can you sign one of ours? And nothing. And then all of a sudden he gets the gig on 205 and boom, he gets offered the contract.
And he, you know what, Joe, really quick too, right at that time too, was Cody Rhodes was doing a presser on, you know, with media for one of the upcoming AEW pay-per-views. And that's when Cody mentioned, when he was asked, like, who are you, you know, aware of and stuff. And Cody actually mentioned Chris Bay. So you got 205 and a mention from an AEW.
Yeah, he mentioned Sepha too, crazy enough. Yeah. Two FSW guys.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, TNA decides to sign him. You know? Oh, who's here, Joe?
Oh, was that? Oh, I thought you were still talking on the...
No, and it, right. He's just, yeah, he got signed, like, right after
that. And then he got signed, and he told me the contract, and I was like, ah, oh, man, not that great a deal, you know what I mean? It was that appearance, and it's like, but you got to start somewhere, you know? You can't expect big dollars, and that's how it worked. And, you know, he worked out the contract, and then, you know, they made him a tag champ. And he did good things. And then all of a sudden, you know, Chris re-signed. So, you know, he got the raise. He got more money. And I know he was looking at now what was next in his future. And, you know, he put in all this work. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it's going to be all good. And it's just going to be a blip on the radar. But again, until you know, you're always thinking, oh my God, it could be this. Oh my God, it could be that, without having information. So it's like, if anybody thinks, hey, that I'm saying this, or, I'm not. It's just where your mind goes in that situation. Because I also hear that he may be released from the hospital in the next couple days, which to me seems like a fantastic sign.
Right.
But I don't want to jump the gun in that situation.
Right. And with, you know, all these different speculations out there, you know, the honest answer, and I've, you know, I've been asked the same question, is the truth is we don't know. You know, only the people closest to the situation know. So when you hear reports and stuff, you know, take it with a grain of salt of what's being said, because until, you know, Chris is able to or ready to make any type of statement or, you know, start letting people know what's going on, it's just a respect the privacy type situation, and just keep him in your prayers. And you know, again, like you said, he's absolutely one of the great people. And is, you know, we tend to forget this too, is so still young. He's so young, man. He's still got so much ahead of him in his life, that it, you know, brings a lot into perspective.
You know, it's just, you know, how crazy things are. It was like last Monday, Bateman got sick. He wasn't able to do the training. Bays hit me up. Hey, you know, I can cover for you. So it was Monday going into everything. Saw the clips and he was all excited. I saw he posted the stuff from the ladder match. Yeah. And it's just, boom. It is just crazy how all these things can just change in a split second. It's just mind-boggling. Plus, you know, none of the footage has been released, rightfully so. But usually if you see something, you can be like, oh, man, I can't believe this. Like, there's nothing there. It's just like, boom. And now you're just, unfortunately, waiting, you know, eagerly for some positive news.
Yeah.
And just want to hear everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. And, you know, from accounts that I got, you know, I literally got a text that was, it wasn't like, oh my God, they did this crazy spot, blah, blah. No, it literally was like, Chris went down. It was, you know, it was just, that's like, that was the text, like, oh my God, Chris just went down. But it wasn't like he did this, that, or the other. It wasn't crazy. The night before in that main event, he takes a spear from the ladder, you know, and you go, oh, you would think, you know, again, that's the high risk stuff, right? But any of us who've trained know that kind of what you said there, that all it takes is just one just slight thing that's just so basic that can injure you in any sense. So it's crazy how, you know, and you could just imagine what, you know, I mean, look at everything Matt and Jeff have done in their careers, and they've gone through and, you know, had various injuries, but, you know, they've never had a major, you know, where you're like, we don't know what's going on, that kind of thing.
Well, Matt got kind of really fucked up with Guevara when he first came in, when they did, when he did AEW, and he got pretty much knocked out.
That's right. The head, you know, slam. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Hardys, when they had the, it was a ladder match or TLC match with Eminem and Joey Mercury with the ladder, you know.
Yeah.
You forget how dangerous it is, because you go through watching so many matches and so many crazy things and GCW and all this other stuff. And it's a tribute to the skill levels that even in independent wrestling, you rarely see something that can go horribly wrong do. So it's like when it happens, it's like it's a shock.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we again, we send every ounce of our love to Chris and the city, every wrestling fan, you know, anyone who's ever worked with or come across Chris, you know, again, he's just such a great person. You know, again, his future is, you know, there's so much left to write in his story as a person. So just keep the prayers for Chris. And again, the GoFundMe, go to GoFundMe or GoFund.me/A, and that's small a, 09 small e 8 0 small a 09 small e 8 small a 5 5. And it is a legitimate GoFundMe. Again, you can see some of the names who have donated. Again, this is being done by his friends to help out. So let's talk a little bit about what happened at the arena this past Friday. We had a little Halloween shindig going on. How did everything go with the show on Friday?
Well, can't complain. You know, we had a packed house. Everything went extremely well. You know, so we had good matches. You know, the gimmick battle royal, is as usual, was the gimmick battle royal, and everybody dug it.
Was there any guys that stood out to you for the characters they did?
I'll be honest with you. I've seen some better costumes in the past. You know, the younger kids, they tried, you know. In the past, some people like hired like legit like makeup artists to right. do things.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But you know what? Whether it's the Ultimate Warrior trying to be the Hollywood Rock or whatever, you know, it's a great moment.
Sure.
For everybody. Yep. You know what I mean? So they love it. And, you know, we got people who have never appeared, you know, so many people, it's their very first, you know, appearance. Right. Nathan did Stone Cold. He's an Air Force guy out of Nellis, and he had about 15 of his friends and family come buy tickets to check it out. Colin, who was brought to us by Cal Jack, amateur wrestler in high school. Yep. And Colin, who every time I see him, I call him Guevara because that's who he looks like to me. He disappointed me. He came as Hook and not as Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
Other people have called him Hook. You know, he had, you know, same thing, 12 to 15 family and friends. His grandma, his mother and father and friends all came down to support him. You know, Jonathan, who's back as our camera guy, got to be the Hollywood Rock. And, you know, Gypsy Mac did Rhea Ripley, and she was victorious. And she was down to the final two with Fresco. So it went really well. So, you know, we had that. We had a couple of issues. Nino Black fractured his hip. So we had to change up what we were doing there. And Dante chose to wrestle someone who's been on a few of our shows. He's moved here recently, JKM, pretty talented young kid that is a protege of Dante and Gypsy, as well as trained in New Mexico with Gino Rivera, and gave him an opportunity to shine on a big stage. And then there was miscommunication between me and the Golden Era on the 4-on-4 tag that I thought I had locked them in at the Silverton show. And I could swear I brought it up, but, you know, normally everything's Facebook Messenger, whatever. But at the Silverton show, we had talked about the 26th, but I thought we were good with the 25th because they both said they couldn't make the 26th, Billionaire Boys Club and the other one. So, and Golden Era. So I switched it to 25th. I could have swore I told them. They said no. So, okay, they'll be back November 9th. That was on my end. We got Koa, who was available, and the newest member of the Billionaire Boys Club, Jaden Monroe. And despite that, they still came up victorious as Sky High, once again, have continued that downfall since they've lost the belts.
Right. And we all know that's all based on Robbie, right? It's all Robbie's fault.
It could be. I don't know.
You got to choose one or the other, you know. it's pro wrestling. Someone's got to be Jannetty.
I just know they were. Are you calling Robbie the Jannetty? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
Just said that. Wow.
Someone's got to be the Jannetty, right?
You know, Robbie's got that shoot background, part of natural born killers. I don't know.
True. And Robbie, actually, you know, we kind of forget because we get so much with them with the tag team. But we kind of forget that match that Robbie had at Natural Born Killers was pretty fucking phenomenal. He is
absolutely
a wrestler.
And that's why you speak up, because he was a guy I had no knowledge of in that. And they were like, oh, you know, Robbie, all right, I'll give him a shot. And you know, because he's the quiet one. We had him on here. I think he just took up space, if I remember correctly. Mondo did all the talking and Robbie said, yes, sir, I think once or twice.
But you know, it is an interesting thing to see, you know, tag team champions just within the year and now having their issues. And then their partners are the opposite, where they're just continuously on an upswing.
Well, you know, makeshift chemistry has been, you know, it's funny, yesterday. I had a meeting with a tag team that very prominent in FSW, hasn't been around for a bit, and we were talking. And just talking about that, you know, 6 months ago, I would have never put makeshift chemistry in the conversation about, you know, at luck of the draw, you know, who's a team worthy of being getting a tag title shot. To be honest with you. Yeah. And by taking a look, you know, Braxton and Ice seem to be now gelling. Excellent match against Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire, who are a very good tag team also.
Yeah.
You got the MK Army. You got the Golden Era. You got the Mariachi Montaña. So, you know, adding another addition to the tag team, it's not what you're always looking for, but when it happens, it happens. And it's like, man, there's so many tag teams. You know, I got Tito for, you know, luck of the draw. Whether Che Cabrera comes in, that becomes another top-tier tag team.
Right.
That's going to be there. So, and then you got, you know, the younger guys like, you know, Davion and Demir, the Killer Ds, they're on the rise, you know, they're both less than 20 years old. So, you know, we always say, you know, the future is extremely bright. And, you know, on the polar opposite of some of the news that we heard this week, you know, word broke today about WWE with the wrestling schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know we're a wrestling school that has a very good reputation throughout the United States. And, yep. You know, Remy sent me something this morning. You sent me something. So when I woke up, I saw this. I was like, oh, shit. Because in my conversations with Gabe Sapolsky, who, from what I understand, has a lot to do with what's going on with this, I ended up sending him a message and, you know, he said, we're going to talk, you know, right now it's easy. It was Booker T's school. It was Seth Rollins' school. It was Cody Rhodes' school. It's Rikishi's school. So it's right. All the WWE people. But when Gabe was going around doing the independent seminars, we were one of the first people he contacted, because I'm not sure if there's another wrestling school in the United States or in the world that have produced three WWE superstars that are currently on Raw and SmackDown with Cross, Sepha, and Zoe Stark, to go along with the Chris Bay and AJ Vidal, who were signed by TNA, and a Matt Vandegrift and Jacob Austin Young in New Japan.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that conversation, hopefully, very soon, to where we could be a part of it, because, you know, there was some great advantages of, you know, maybe sending some of that talent that was even part of the developmental to come work with us. Sin Bodhi is a guy who gets sent to the Performance Center every few months to be a guest trainer.
And it looks like Sin might be doing a little bit more with them too now. So,
well, he hopes to.
Yeah.
And Kenny King is a guy who Gabe Sapolsky got into Ring of Honor when Kenny was living in Florida, and Gabe started FIP. Kenny King and Rhett Titus were mainstays for him, and when he took over booking Ring of Honor, so he's had a really good relationship with Kenny for 20 plus years. So having them as two of our main trainers, to me, makes it a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm waiting for that phone call. I'm ready to get off with you and go right on to the let's get it done, baby.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very encouraging. What I love is the idea that, again, you look at Vince never really looked at it like that, because his whole thing was absorption, take over, control, all that. The new regime, Hunter gets it. Sean gets it.
It's a new world, man. It's totally different. You know, back in the day, the AWA, unless you watched it on ESPN, and before that they had nothing, and after they lost them, they had nothing. They were a regional company.
Yep.
WWE, WWF, they were on USA back in the day. There wasn't national outlets. There wasn't streaming services for it to all happen. You know, TNA is on a channel nobody really has, but they've managed to become successful through all the other ways you can watch wrestling.
Yes.
In 2024. Just like we now have fans in New York and Chicago and Pittsburgh and Florida. And again, we don't have the reach that they do, but we have a reach that increases our fan base exponentially. And now it's our job to figure out a way for more people in Chicago to know about FSW and Florida and Pittsburgh and all these companies. And whether that means you do a show with GCW, House of Glory, Reality of Wrestling, Rikishi's, whatever it is, you know, we have major relationships. You know, Rikishi called me to get Sepha trained at my school.
Right.
Because Sepha wanted to stay in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So Rikishi hit me up. You know, we've worked with Booker when he came out here. We worked with Booker. And those are the companies already established. And, you know, when Gabe did the stuff with us, his next stop was Booker's.
Right.
So that means we're on par with what's going on. You have people that have done something in this business that are the trainers. And we have people that have gone on to bigger and better things and signed by major companies. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, I can always question everything in our training, and maybe we're not doing this well enough or that well enough. But somehow we are getting people not only looked at and signed, but wrestling in major companies, independent companies, whether it's West Coast Pro, whether it's Defy, whether it's all this other stuff, you know?
Well, and you just said bookers, your champion is, you know, someone who's been doing stuff with Reality of Wrestling in Limelight. You know, Danny Limelight's got a good relationship. The Faction has a good relationship with Booker. You know, Nick has a good relationship. So you have not only, you know, it shows that, you know, the talent you have too is connecting with these other places that are getting the opportunities as well. And it just, you know, it goes to show that it kind of trickles down, right? You have people who learn here or have come through as a wrestler here who then also carry that mantle to other places and understand. And I think that's huge, especially, you know, if you're getting looks now with places that have, you know, the spotlight on them, and then the spotlight eventually shines on you. And now it becomes even more important that the students, you know, really take it seriously. And again, maybe not as crazy as Chris Bay in terms of, you know, like you said, putting all the eggs in a basket, but realizing the difference between, as Al Snell told me, do it as a hobby. And that's what I did. But if you're serious about being a pro wrestler, step it up, become a pro, and not just call yourself a wrestler, you know? And I think that's, you know, opportunities are starting to knock on the door, and WrestleMania is not too far away, you know? And guess who's going to be in town for a week? And I'm sure you're probably going to end up having conversations that are pretty, pretty serious, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, we've already put together the concept, the idea of a training workshop, and I even brought it out there to Gabe, and that was a week to two, probably 2 weeks ago. And his response was basically, he's got to see what's going on, but definitely interested and want to talk about it. Well, yeah. He's also probably been privy to what happened today. Right. So he was keeping it close to the vest and not really saying anything. Just like when we met last time, he was saying, you know, be ready, things are happening. Now, that could mean a lot of things, but when other things start coming to fruition, you think, okay, well, he's definitely keeping me in mind. He's always putting over FSW. Right. So, you know, so yeah. We will see.
And, you know, obviously one of the big things will be the Mecca anniversary show in June of next year. But in the meantime, you guys had what I thought was on film a really cool looking setup at the Lee's Family Forum this past Wednesday.
I'll tell you what, I would love to sell tickets around there and you know, save 30,000. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we're going, I met with my guy that day, and unfortunately some numbers kind of changed that always seem to happen. So let's just say we have to go back to the drawing board, because he threw out some numbers and I understand, you know, so we went to the hockey game. Let's put over the good stuff first.
Right.
So we did two matches. They kind of changed it up. I was told before the first period and after, before the game started and after the first period. So when we get there, they were like, oh yeah, I thought the mariachi guys, I was like, no, we talked about it. You said you had people coming. So I think that fell through. I don't know what the deal was there. So it's like, oh, no, you guys are going on after the first period and after the second period, which is a benefit for us because at 6:40, there's a third of the attendance there. Everybody, it's like a wrestling show. A hockey game starts at 7:05. People aren't getting there at 6:30. They're getting there and they're rolling in. Right. So, okay. They got four cameras set up. I'm like, so how's it going to work? Because, you know, after first period, you're not going to – and again, the attendance wasn't huge. There's probably 1,500 people there, which is still a great number. We wish we could draw 1,500 people. And it's like, well, people aren't going to get up from their seat and go walk to the concourse and sit and stand. So we were in a – they put us in a suite. So, you know, of course, no food or drink, no, none of that good stuff. You know, last time we got the vouchers, so I'm not going to complain. And I chose not to pay $144 for a 24-pack of water.
Jesus.
Because six waters was $36. And I was going to be like, hey, let me at least buy the guy's water. It was like $36. I'm like, okay, for a 24-pack, whatever. They're paying us. It was for six waters. Like, what the fuck? So $144. So I passed on that. So I watched the first match on the screen because that was the great part. You know, probably 5K cameras, four beautifully pictured cameras on there. It looked fantastic. And shockingly, it's like, oh, shit. There's a few hundred people standing and up on the second floor. It looks awesome.
It looked amazing.
You know, and then we did the second match, and it was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it was because it was the first match. Everybody went back again and watched, and it was a killer match with Vandegrift, Ice Williams, and Bodie. And it's like, man, to take it and put it out on the floor, I'm one for the intimate settings. I liked the Natural Born Killers, FSW, GCW2. Obviously, you want 500 or 600 at the Silverton. But, man, when we do 275 at the FSW Arena, it looks packed to the gills because it is. Right. And it looks better than 500 people at the Silverton. But things look great. We're still going to have those conversations. You know, there's a lot of numbers of their nut, as we like to call it. Right. But, like, their nut includes things that aren't really necessary. Like, I'm not paying $2,000 for catering, you know? It's like, is everybody getting a filet mignon that we're paying for? It's like,
well, you know, they heard you were thinking about Juicy. So,
you know, all you can eat buffet? What the fuck? $2,000? You know, what is Wolfgang Puck cooking it? You know? And then it was like, you know, so then you have to have the security officers.
Right.
And the ushers. And the police officers. And it's like, how many of those do we need? And those numbers just add up and add up and add up. And then there's like, miscellaneous. Well, what's miscellaneous? Well, we got no idea yet. It's just a number that's thrown out there.
Wait until you see the price for their sound guy and their lighting guy.
Oh, I did. I thought the Silverton was expensive. You know, so
is it true that they have one guy on payroll who presses the air horn button so that, you know, when they score a goal, so you got to hire him?
I bet they do. It's like, am I paying for the whole staff to be there for the day? Like, that first number I heard was way lower than the number I heard the other day. But, you know, it's 50-50 partners, so we split it.
Right.
And it's still one of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how, you're right, cost starts, you know, escalating. And, boy, again, you know, we're not too sure once the new year starts too, what the, you know, the escalation of prices are, right, with inflation. So this is the, you know, what is the next incarnation of the numbers is, you know, the next question.
You know, I'm going to tell you, it's something funny. So yesterday I'm scrolling on Twitter out of nowhere, nothing. All of a sudden I see a GCW space with Brett Lauderdale. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let me click it. So I click it live. And what is Brett talking about? He's talking about GCW at the Hammerstein Ballroom and talking about pricing and things like that. And it was funny because it was like, wow, that's pretty apropos. All of a sudden, I hit the button and that's what they're talking about. And he's like, you know, take a guess, you know, what you think, you know, rent for something like the Hammerstein is. And he's talking to this guy, David Bixpan or something like that. He's a big following wrestling journalist, guys. And, you know, he shoots out the number 150,000. And Brett goes, you know something? I applaud you for saying that number because a lot of people are going to say like 30,000.
Right.
And he goes, I'm not going to give away the numbers, but I'm just going to say you're in the ballpark. And, you know, Brett was talking about the cheapest seat being $60 for the Hammerstein. But whatever deal it was also made me perk my interest was it was $60 all in with the Ticketmaster fee. So it was an all in inclusive price. Which okay. kind of changes everything because, you know, they're usually 30-40% in fees.
Right.
On there. And I was like, wow, I wonder if we could do something like that. Because we were talking ticket prices and how high can you go and all the other stuff because what we need. And it's like, well, we had a pretty good turnout for our anniversary show. And if you take that number and you double it, it's a pretty good number. But now, if you take that number and double it, we would still lose
right.
on our end, which is supposedly only going to be half, at least $10,000 to $15,000. Because right. the anniversary show, it had Hammerstone, or it had Bay, or it had Limelight. This show has to have a Ricochet, or Cardona, or some really big name guys that jumps our budget, you right. know, 3 to 5 times the amount. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to pay for 9 parking guys at $30 an hour for 5 hours.
Well, wait, now, can you solve this by maybe like getting like some of the students to do the parking? Do you think they'd go for that? Like,
yeah, or... I bet they would, but I don't want beans parking my car. You know what I'm saying?
Or you could potentially, you could use their parking staff as in-ring performers, right? And save yourself on the envelopes.
Yeah. So, well, you know, we're definitely going to do the battle royal that gets all those guys on and that's their, you know, that's their job to sell, you know, 1,000 tickets right there.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. And probably, you know, again, things are going to, you know, evolve. And hopefully you'll be able to get this done. And it will be beneficial, and you know, you can get the top stars to draw like Sin and Funny Bone, right?
You never know. You know, I know a guy like Sin will definitely want to be a part of that show.
Right, right. November 9th is the next show coming up at the arena, correct?
Yeah, November 9th. we're putting together a contenders match for the Nevada State Championship, where the winner will wrestle, presumably if he retains on the ninth, Matt Vandegrift. He's going to actually be wrestling one of the members of Culture Inc. We have two of the members, along with NJ Holiday, who does our commentary. He's also works with them at Reality of Wrestling. Yep. So they're going to be in town. Kia nice. Dream, I believe, is the female wrestler.
Yeah.
And she's going to wrestle Zamaya on that show. Gypsy Mac is going to wrestle Alice Blair on that show. Nice. Looks like we're doing a number one contender match for the tag championships. Billionaire Boys Club will not be there. So this will be a rematch. They met once in a single tag team match. Golden Era defeated Makeshift Chemistry. Then in the elimination match, Makeshift Chemistry took out the Golden Era. Yep. So now we're going to have a number one contenders match where the winners wrestle the Billionaire Boys Club at Luck of the Draw. So we're putting a lot of things together. It's our final show before Luck of the Draw. Obviously, it's going to be a Rumble, the 30-man Rumble. We're trying to put it together. The Feast or Famine match that we like to do every year. The winner of the match draws number 29 or 30. I guess if it's a 30-man Rumble, we like to do 29. And the loser has to come in at number one. So, you know, in the past we had, I remember, Graves and Carl Fredericks at one point in that situation. And we've had some, you know, big name matches to where guys started at number one. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one hell of a fun show. So, again, that's going to be at the Silverton, everything set. Are they
still waiting on the contract? But he did actually call me to say, hey, get me the stuff for the marquee, because you know how our team isn't the fastest at getting things up, which I, you know, I appreciate that. But it's like, you know, I shouldn't have to jump through hoops and I shouldn't have to tell you to check to make sure our stuff is up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what's in the contract. I do have a lot of other things to do. And I know you got shows, you know, I already know Los Lonely Boys is playing November 1st because, you know, being a Players Club member now, and I guess at a higher level than just the Jabroni level, I got free ticket offer.
Hey, I do too.
Yeah. So you're giving away a whole bunch of free tickets to an act that you're paying a lot of money because you want people to be there. And it's like, what about us? We're the ones who actually bring the people there that you don't pay for.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I can go on my soapbox and preach about it, but it's the truth. It's like we bring you people at no cost to you. They're bringing you people at a cost to you.
Right. But so, I'll tell you, Joe, 4NR was pretty good this past weekend. So was Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
But, again,
you look and the house was probably about 65%. And surprisingly, this is one of the first times that both bars were open. But, man, there was not a lot of people going to the bars. So just interesting to see, like you said, they're putting out all that money and the return cannot be good.
Right. But again, they're looking, see, that it's funny. So they look at their demographic for that. You know, it's a Def Leppard tribute band. Well, how many 20-year-olds are going to see a Def Leppard tribute band?
Right.
Probably none. So what you're saying is that 35 and up crowd that you're bringing to there, you're not as concerned about them getting the free tickets to the concert. You're assuming that after the show, because they are ticket people, they obviously have to at least be second level, because first level, like I never play the Silverton. I play like the three times that I'm there for the show.
Right.
And I'm already getting freebies.
Right.
Okay. So you're expecting those people to go into your casino and play the machines.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at our age demographic, it isn't young. It's 25 to 60.
Yeah.
Why do you assume that they're not going into the casino and eating and playing and all that other stuff?
Right.
You know, hey, I'm gonna hit them up. I'm gonna say, hey, you know what, Jimmy? Why don't you offer a buy one, get one free to your players? Maybe they put it in an email.
Sure.
General admission only.
Yeah.
And see if anybody bites. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I mean, listen, honestly, the worst that can happen is you get an extra 400 people you don't expect, and now the place is packed. Ooh.
Right.
That's a worst, you know? Like,
you know, yeah. It's like the whole idea of the game is, I get it. All anybody cares about, wrestler-wise, nobody's like, oh my God, there's 600 people there. Yeah, but how many of them got in for free? Nobody gives a flying fuck.
Right.
Okay? All they care about is they wrestled in front of 600 people. So right. They are ecstatic that there's 600 people.
Right.
The Silverton should be ecstatic that there's 600 people there. Because if I gave away vet ticks and family and friends where, you know, the main guys, you know, most of the students there, they have to pay for every ticket. They get a huge discount, but they're paying for the tickets. So what if 150 tickets come to me at a discounted price? A lot of them a lot of them wouldn't have come to the show if Adrian Rain wasn't in the Battle Royal, if John Trademark wasn't in the Battle Royal, if whoever wasn't in the Battle Royal or the Rumble. So that added income helps us when we're doing a casino show that we have to pay money to be at. So everybody benefits. The wrestlers benefit. The staff benefits. The bartenders should make money because vet tech people are buying drinks. So that's another 60 to 100 people there. Don't tell me 30 of them didn't spend $20 in drinks.
Right.
And it's the idea of working together to make the event. But it's, again, the process of, well, it's a four wall and you're renting it out, so we're making this amount of money. And it's like, right. Wow, with very minimal effort, you could make it this amount of money.
Right.
How about we try it? What could we do to do that? How can we do something to make that happen? But well, it's almost like, okay, tickets are on sale. There you go. We'll see you in 3 weeks. And that's all the communication.
If you called yourself a wrestling tribute show, maybe they would book you.
There you go. You know, we got the fake Macho Man, and, you know, I could bring the Splat Pack back together, and, you know, we can have the Nacho Man, and we could have the Huckster, and we could do all that, and that might be a good draw. That could be like a bar show.
Right.
The Halloween gimmick Battle Royal would be like year round.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I think we can get the Tuscany, and you know, they do the Rat Pack show nightly. I think we can do a 9:30 p.m. wrestling legends live in Vegas,
wow. Hosted by Greg the Hammer Valentine, brother.
Of course.
Or if you ever want to hear Sabu actually talk.
Uh, Oh, man. All right. Again, please keep Chris in your minds and in your thoughts and your prayers. You can check out GoFund.me/ little A 09, little E 8, little A 55 for the Chris Bay GoFundMe. And you can check out FSW on Triller TV. You know, catch the show on November 9th if you're not in town, and you know, gearing up for the big show at the Silverton coming up. What is the date? November
Sunday, November 24th. Luck of the draw, a 30 plus person battle royal. Men and women will be included. The winner of the Rumble, which opens the show, will get a championship match against Danny Limelight in the main event. We have a Nevada State Championship match. I can announce that. I will announce it right now. The No Limits Championship will be on the line. Damian Drake will defend against Eli Everfly.
Oh, man.
We have a women's match. I might add a stipulation to the Damian Drake-Eli Everfly match to try to make it even more exciting than I can imagine it will be.
Well, just let Damian come up with the stipulation. You know, he's good at that.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see on that one. But, yeah, so we'll have a women's title match, and we'll have a tag title match, as well as the heavyweight title. Yeah. So, you know, that is going to be our final casino show of 2024.
Right.
So it should be a good one. So, you know, come on November 9th and all the other places will, you know, all the pieces will fall into place. You know, I got some ideas. You know, I talked about Bad Dude Tito will be returning at Luck of the Draw. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see. As of right now, I'll probably wait till next week, because for the Nevada State four-way match, I have three of the names. I'm just trying to get confirmation on the fourth. But it'll be a very exciting four-way matchup. Featuring four guys that, you know, nobody can be able to pick a winner in this one. It's just an outstanding matchup that we got for it. So, as I said, just waiting on the final participant, and, you know, surprises galore, and, you know, Hammerstone trying to lock him in for the Rumble match. You know, he's the guy who, that's how he won the title, I believe, right, back in the day. So, yeah. And, you know, he would be going for an unprecedented title reign. So the list of talent that's going to be in the Rumble this year is far exceeding past Rumble. So, you know, you like to say that all the time, but, you know, we're still working on some names, and, you know, I want this to, as some people used to say, a banger. I want it to be a banger.
Well, hey, maybe we'll see those some people back in the battle royal, right?
Definitely possible. And for some, we might wait for some special occasions. I don't want to give away, you know, a great return to just be in a Rumble match. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there you go. Again, thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time checking out the DeFalco Files, catch us almost every week. But keep your ears out on the Vegas Bad Boys social media. And until next time, everyone, have a great week.